I thank God. Let's bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our midst today. Thank you because your grace is always sufficient. When we are weak, the Bible says, then we are strong. Because your grace will run in focus in and through our weakness. Wherefore, as we go into your word this morning, Father, I receive fresh grace, fresh mercy in sufficient measure. And also talk under the covering of my spiritual fathers, that through the open heavens they have created this day, you will enable me to minister effectively as an oracle of God beyond my preparations. And as I speak forth your word, for go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Cause now wills become humble and minds further enlightened with revelation knowledge that come from your word, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As your word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life. Let it cause needs to be made, bringing edification of body, causing glory to go to the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and blessings unto all sons of men. Also receive grace to him to redeem and not to say things that are necessary. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that which you do in our mystery. We give all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't mind me. My voice is a bit, Yorubas, we see as we go on. Praise the Lord. But in spite of that, I'm trusting God for his best to be faithful. Yeah, today we are going to continue in the book of 2 Timothy. And let's open up 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll read, do a brief recap from verses 6 to 7. This is where we stopped last year by the mercy and the grace of God. And let's just read to remind and refresh our minds about what we read. Praise the Lord. What does it say? That is why, please put in the KJV, please. Thank you. KJV, please. Anyway, let's see. Read after me. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou what? Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Let's see the second, next verse, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we can link those two verses together. Do a brief recap. Paul here was telling his spiritual son Timothy, and by extension us today, he said that I'm putting you into remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in you, that came upon you by the laying on of my hands. And I said, for means as a consequence of what I've just said. Say, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of what? A sound mind. So you can see there that if you don't stir up whatever gift God has given you, fear will stifle it. That is the whole purpose of Satan, to hinder us from working in whatever God has given unto us. And he does. That's why Paul was telling Timothy, the bishop of Ephesus at that time, that reminding you, don't forget. Why will you remind somebody of what is not likely to forget? That the only way that gift can come into operation is if you what? Stir it up. That means it is inside. Another word I can use in modern day is that activate it. Say activate. That is, when you do that gift will come into manifestation, and then also you will come fear that might seek to hinder that gift from being a problem. Because when things occur, what happens is this, it hinders the body of Christ from being edified. And I want to fear there is timidity. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Praise the Lord. So I know the last time we spoke, he said that the gift came upon him by laying on of hands. You see, the gift of God, generally speaking, is the ability to speak in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let us look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's read together. What does it say? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall what? Receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the what? Holy Ghost. Let the Acts chapter 10, verse 45, in the house of Cornelius. Just say, in a matter of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Are we there? What does it say? And they of the circumcision, which believe, were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So generally speaking, That is the gift that he was talking about. And I gave the example of the Joshua and Moses the other time. Deuteronomy chapter 3, 34 rather, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. The Bible lets us know that it was when Moses laid hands on Joshua that gift came upon him. Let's go there. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of what? The spirit of wisdom. For, say for. Means because Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. If you remember, just mention before we move on. God kept on telling him, Joshua, be strong and be of a good courage. Same thing that Paul told Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Stir up the gift of God in you, that your body can be edified. Praise the Lord. Because it's very important for us to know that. For God has not given us spirit of fear, but power of love and of a sound mind. So God does not want Satan to stifle or to restrain or to hinder manifestation of the gift that has given us. But secondly, like I mentioned the other time, the gift of God is not just praying in tongues. The second aspect also means that it can mean, say, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Say, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry gifts, that is the fivefold ministry, and any other gift that God has given us. We are going to specifics now. That's why in the book of Acts, when Paul laid hands on a few Ephesians that got born again, when he said, have you not so much received the Holy Spirit? But so when he laid hands on them, he said they began to speak in tongues, and they also prophesied. That they also came with a gift. Are you following me? So you have nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to turn there because I just briefly come. You can check that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then he also speaks of the fivefold ministry gifts that you find in the book of Ephesians. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts. You see, and whatever gift, you see, every one of us has a gift. See, every one of us has a gift. Let's see this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. There is some, you may not be in the fivefold ministry gift, office rather, but there is something that God has bestowed upon you. And you see, don't say, okay, I'm not a pastor. Okay, I'm not called the fivefold ministry gift. Okay, I've never experienced the gift of spirit form. That's what I was saying. But unto everyone, say everyone, everyone, without exception, unto everyone of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I follow me. Grace there means charis. There is something that God has put inside you. But you see, for you to get it out or to activate it, you must pray a lot in tongues. So we'll not be like that guy that the master gave a talent. And Bible says that he went and hid it. He said, I mean, I don't want this one has 10, this one has 5. I mean, only one. What do I will use this one for? Then he wrapped it in a napkin. That napkin there, as you all know, we've taught before, speaks about the carnal nature. Because he occurs twice in the Bible when talking about this guy, and that was what they used to wrap the dead. How about they used to cover Jesus' feet? But says he folded it neatly and he put it aside. So as you don't hide your gift under the carnal nature, let it come out. Praise the Lord. So the example you have is Bezalel in the Bible. He's son of Haoliab. But we have time today. When they go to build the tabernacle, God called him. And then Moses prayed for them, lay hands on them, I believe. And then God now added, embellish that grace. Are you following me? And they used to build the tabernacle. So say everyone, to every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. So you have the gift of God, generally speaking, as he's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you also have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the fivefold ministry gifts, and to everyone is given a particular gift. Nobody is useless. We are dependent on each other. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that as we continue. So what is God telling us today? He's saying that we should not neglect that gift. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Are we there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of my hands. The laying on of the hands by the presbytery. Praise the Lord. So we don't neglect that gift. As I was preparing, God put it to me this way. And I wrote it down. I said that we use the gift of tongues to stir up the gift of God in us and to overcome fear. Let's do it together. Very important. I'll go put it to me and read that. We use the gift of tongues to stir up the gift of God in us and to overcome fear. For we use the gift of tongues to stir up the gift of God in us and then to overcome fear. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So you wake up in the morning, you've done your good morning Jesus prayers, and I begin to pray a lot in tongues. What did you begin to draw out? That gift that God has buried in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The second aspect I want to see that is from this next verse that talks about fear. Say, God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Now to redeem time, their fear at two levels. Say, the fear of man and the fear of death. You see, when God gives you a gift or whatever, if one of the things that makes people afraid, you know, and they fell off cold feet, they are afraid. What will people say? Or they are afraid of their lives. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. What does it say? It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. We must lose the fear of man. And it also comes by building up yourself in your most holy faith, especially in these days we have entered into. It says, the fear of man, what? Bringeth a snare. That is, traps you. You can't talk. God drops a word in your mouth and you can't say it. You are afraid of yourself. What will people say? Or God tells you to go and warn somebody. And then you say, I won't tell the person. It happened to Papa again, one of his books. He was supposed to go and warn one guy. He said that the guy was very hard. That he was afraid he can't even slap him. He didn't go. And then the guy died. Yeah, he died. I don't want to mention his name. The guy ended up dying. Praise the Lord. That would not be a problem. We be bold. But you see, in him we have boldness. When you pray a lot in the Spirit, go and check out the book of Acts. Each time they gathered and they praised the Lord. But they were all filled with boldness. That's what you need to do. Then expect the word with authority. So the same Peter that went to hide when we were going to kill Jesus Christ, the same Peter on the day of Pentecost stood before me and said, repent! What is the difference between that time and this time? At that time, he slept in Gethsemane. After that time, in the book of Acts, he prayed and he stood boldly. So you see, it's dynamic. You see, it's like filling the tank of your car with petrol. I keep on moving from the money for somewhere. If you don't keep on replenishing, the petrol will run down and the car will stop. We've all been taught. Praise the Lord. So let's move on by the grace of God. Help me, Holy Spirit. So that's very important. So we overcome that. Then the second fear is the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14. Bible says that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, talking about those guys, likewise took that through death he might destroy. Say, might destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? The devil. Next verse. Deliver them. And deliver them. Say, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. And deliver them. Oh, to the fear of death. Where all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christians are fear of different things. Some are fear of serving God. If I start to serve God now, by the one that taught us that when you go to enter the kingdom, and they will strip you of everything. What did you do? They will strip it again. Like another story I said, come and go to heaven. People are afraid. Why are you afraid? But I say, he that called you is faithful, and he will do it. Are you following me? So don't be afraid of death. I say, they overcame me by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they love done their lives unto death. Very popular for us in this day. Praise the Lord. When you love the Lord above every other thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, that is very important. So, let us go to, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. So, we're going to move to what we have for today. Matthew 10, chapter 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? The master himself said it. Says, Matthew chapter 10. He said, don't be afraid. What? Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He said, fear them not. They are able to. Matthew 10, 28, that are able to destroy the body and they can't do anything. But fear him only that's able to kill and to send well. Let's together. And fear not them. Say, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to what? Destroy this both the soul and the body in hell. Fear God, though, and keep his commandments. Don't be afraid of any man. I'm not saying be disrespectful, but don't be afraid. Speak the truth in love when you have to. I'm not saying you keep on, I'm not saying you go around shouting and screaming. No. But don't be afraid. Fear brings you into a snare. God, they will kill me. That is why you can find people deny Christ, change their religion, and think foolishly that they can reign over a people. Is that possible? I'm talking prophetically. Compare that person to Leah Sharibu. Wake up, guys. Church, wake up. It is not the so-called glamour that we see that impresses God. God has his own people. You cannot deny him and then expect him to back you up. He will not. Say he will not. Let's move to what we have for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see verses 8 and 9 in Amplified because of time. Amplified 8 and 9. So let's read together. So he began to tell him. After he told him what I just read. And I said, do not blush or be ashamed. Then to testify to and for our Lord. Not of me a prisoner for his sake. But with me, take your share. Say, take your share. Everybody has a share. We are all shareholders in partaking of his suffering. You see, I want to keep the time. I tell somebody about 2 days ago. I said, let me keep. God had told me this some time ago. He made it very simple. He said, look, you cannot go to university in Nigeria about doing the JAMB exam, right or wrong. So the only difference is that the time they usher me to the examination hall will be different from your own time. The questions are the same, but it just changes the principle. In principle, but it just was said today, 1 + 3 = 4. Tomorrow, I say 2 + 2 = 4, but it's the same thing. I follow what I'm trying to say. So we all have to go to it. If you don't go to it, or you don't enter university, that means you have dropped out. I don't care what you are doing, whether you have started a church or you are a business, you have not entered university and you not get a degree. We get a degree in Jesus' name. So I follow say, not for me is prisoner for his sake, but with me, take your share of his suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you. Say it's going to expose you. And do it in the power of God. Next verse, that is the key. For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself, holy and leading us to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it, anything of merit we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Eternal ages ago. Now let's look at it. I wrote it down in points so we can redeem time. So what are we trying to say here? Paul began to tell Timothy, he said, he must not be ashamed. At two levels, as you can see from that scripture. Firstly, say the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony of Lord Jesus Christ and me is prisoner. Two sets of people. The testimony of Lord Jesus Christ and to true spiritual leaders that God has put over you. At that time, Paul was in prison. So he said, don't be ashamed though. Don't be afraid. Timothy, don't do what John Mark did and run away. Don't do what Demas did and run away. He said, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and his testimony and of me, his prisoner. So what am I saying? Is that means that the testimony of Jesus Christ speaks about the word of God, witnessing about our faith and identifying with Christ and his purpose for Christianity, which is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible says that those that will live godly shall not maybe suffer persecution. That's what we are in for. But be of good cheer, the Bible says, I have overcome the world. How can you go for classes and you don't want to do examination? Is that possible in natural? So exam will always come. But it didn't bring the exam so I can fail, so I can pass, and I can promote you to the next level. That is the prerequisite for you to grow and grow and inherit the spiritual measure. That is why the Bible talks about Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, he says that for him, he said he behooved him, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, that he became like a man. I follow me. Put in Hebrews chapter 2 in Amplified. He said, he just became a man. Why? And went through all the sufferings. So he was no longer talking drama. So if you go to him and you are praying, the Bible says, he's touched. Why did he go through all that? So he can be a merciful and a faithful high priest. So, you know, after he died and was raised again, promotion was in. But he ever lived to make himself for sins. That was the testimony that was shared here on what night service. God comforts you so you can comfort others. The Bible talks about the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Gnosis. We're not talking about knowledge here. You can have the knowledge of the scriptures. You can confess, which is important. That is going to take you to grill. That is when you now put to practice what you have learned. A lot of Christians, when they get there, they run away. Say, not my portion. Not my portion. If you do that, your own portion of the spirit dimension has just been revealed a lot in Jesus' name. What am I saying? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that is, work at patience. The patience of his perfect God, the perfect entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Money like rapturous. It's not a gift like we had. It's a reward. Of those that have been faithful to the calling. Let's give him by the grace of God. So, witnessing the purpose of Christ. Then, the second aspect is true spiritual leaders that preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And I thank God for we have such parents over us. It is not flattering, but I know people persecute for groaning. I'm groaning to be like Jesus Christ and get offended. Lord, we have mercy on the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So now, why are Christians ashamed? Because it will bring persecution and affliction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Bible is already quoted. It says, yea, and they that will be godly are not maybe suffer persecution. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 17. The stony ground. But we never start with the heart of flesh. We all start with the heart of stone. So at one time or the other, we had the stony heart in that parable. But we must not stay long there. So the master told them and said that the one on the stony ground, put on Mark chapter 4, verse 17. He said, they that received the word on stony ground. He said, they received with anon with joy. And after the word sprang up. He said, but when affliction or persecution is not the same thing. I'd rather for the word's sake. Immediately, say immediately. They are offended. Like when I lost my voice yesterday. I could have been offended. God, what's all this want now? Why did you allow this to come to me? We'll see as we continue. That is the root of affliction and persecution. When you start obeying, it's not for any other thing, but for the word's sake, even when you start prospering. He said that when you forsake all to follow him, he will give you all these things with persecution. So you can't run away from it if you're going to prosper God's way. But see, what I want us to see today is that the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But is in Psalm 34, verse 19. Say many, not some, are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord does what divide them from them. Oh, you have A stars in everything. No F9, no receipt. Now follow me. I don't want us to be persecution minded, but must preach the whole counsel of God. That the people of God must be thoroughly equipped to face the challenges that are ahead. If you are going to leap over a wall, that means there is an obstacle. Praise the Lord. But be of good cheer, the Bible says, overcome the world. So let's put some definitions behind. The pastor has taught us before. What is persecution? It is rejection and physical attack from men to pressure us or hinder our faith and take us away from God. It comes to test our loyalty to God and his true leaders. Do you want me to repeat it? I repeat again. It is rejection, not persecution now. It is rejection and physical attack from men to pressure us or hinder our faith and take us away from God. Now, you know, they will recount. They will say, when they've been told now, they say, I'm not doing it again. It comes to test our loyalty to God and to his true leaders. Just what flashes in my mind. That's why Elisha had to keep on following Elijah. He tested his loyalty to God. And then to just as Paul said, he said, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and me, his prisoner. So if the others in Jericho were ashamed, who wants to follow a man that is hairy, that is wearing a skin garment around the place? Who is ready to go and pour water at the hands of somebody that can call fire down? They were ashamed, so they stood afar off, but they never inherited. That will not be apportioned in Jesus' name. So what is affliction? Affliction is bodily and circumstantial attacks orchestrated by Satan, remotely without any consciously willing human agent, to try to physically kill or to destroy us. I will repeat. Afflictions are bodily, say bodily, and circumstantial attacks orchestrated by Satan, remotely, he does it remotely, without any consciously willing human agent, to try to physically kill us or destroy us. Let me repeat. It is not God that is the source of affliction and persecution, but he allows it. There is no parent that will time for examination and just say, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm not going to school again." I say, "Okay, sit down." So why do you want God to do that? What the parents will do before the examination comes is to get a tutorial teacher, do revision with that child. So when the examination comes, they can say, "Yeah, go." And the guy goes and wins. Praise the Lord. That is a very simple example. So I don't want us to be persecution minded or be afraid of persecution, even though it is part and parcel of what will come when we decide to follow up with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says, many are the afflictions of righteous. Say it together. But the Lord deliver them from them. Some say all. All. Yeah. That is the good news of the gospel. God will deliver us from them. So Bible says that redeeming in hope, patient in tribulation, continue what? Instant in prayer. It pushes your toes. Now begin to watch diligently. Praise the Lord. Now, I have 7 points here. I will just read through because of time. Why affliction and persecution? How did they mention it? Say God is not the source of persecution and affliction. John 10:10 says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God has come, I have life, I have it more abundantly. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. Very important. That's my point number one. Why do they come? God is not the source. What does it say? For he does not, willingly and from his heart afflict or grieve the children of men. That is, God does not, it is not his will. It's outside his will. But if following me, he will come. But see, he would have put so much in you to overcome. The second point I have is this to redeem time. It says that God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. They will never set the exam of a Form 5 student for a Form 1 student. Is that possible? Not possible. I'm using natural examples so we can understand. Is that possible in natural? It's not possible. So that's what the scripture is saying. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You guys are here afflicting me today. Say there are no temptation. Say there are no temptation taking you, but such as were common. Who will not suffer means allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But we will the temptation also make a way to escape that will be able to bear it. You see, affliction at times also comes, I must mention this, because of our foolishness. Not just from Satan now. That definitely says Satan orchestrates it without the will of men. But at times we ourselves, we are the source of our affliction. Psalm 107, I think it's in verse 17. Are we there? Psalm 107, verse 17. Are we there? Let's put it in Amplified. I think Amplified explains this better. Let's read. It says, some are fools. Say, some are fools. Made ill. That is, you are sick. Because of the way of their transgressions, and are afflicted because of their iniquities, lawlessness. You don't keep God's statutes and judgments. You expose your chest to the cold. Are you following me? You don't take the drugs you're supposed to take, and then you fall sick. It is your fault. And afflicted because of their iniquities. Next verse. But that's not the issue. Next verse, please. Verse 18. They love every kind of food. And they draw near to the gates of bed. You know, when people fall sick, they don't feel like eating again. Next verse. Then they cry. Say, then they cry. This is what I want to focus on the Lord in their trouble. And delivers them out of their distresses. Next verse. And he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit of destruction. What are we saying here? In spite of the persecution, it's from Satan, or if you made a mistake, God will have mercy. Say, God will have mercy. Like he's having mercy on me this morning. And screaming and shouting all over the place, I exposed my chest. You know, in those days when we were young, we used to learn a song in nursery rhyme. Say, rain, rain, go away. Come my day again, another day. Little children want to play. Then maybe your parents will be in the house. Your oversight. They say, oh, Joe, raw. Say, rain, in the way. My war, no, Joe. Kia, sure, Maba, tutu. Kio, tutu. Maba, mwe. What am I saying? Wisdom. That's what that scripture is saying. If you pray, rain, rain, go away, and it doesn't go away, don't go into the rain. No. And if you have gone into the rain, God will send his word if you repent, and he will heal you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, the next verse is, God wants us to overcome them all. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say, thanks be to God that causes us to triumph in all things. God will bring you out if you don't give up. If it is by yourself, I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He will turn it around. He will heal you. And if he said that has bought it, he has made us more than conquerors. There's some things I'm learning. I read on the fathers in the body of Christ. Kenneth Hagin said in one of his tapes, he said, if he's ministering and the anointing is flowing like no man's business, he said, there are some men in his ministry. When they notice that he's tired, they whisk him away. Right or wrong? You're ready for? He said, they whisk him away. Be ogre is enough. Because when you're under the unction, you just continue and continue and continue and continue. Wisdom is profitable to the rest. Go and ask from Elisha. You must learn it. They will just come and grab him. And he said they can wait till tomorrow. All right? I listened to him. He said they can wait till tomorrow. He said when you come back tomorrow, we'll continue. Because you are still in a physical body. You must learn that. Don't stretch yourself beyond measure. Somebody said a few minutes ago, he said, God, I have to read him time. Then let me leave because of time. And then we go there. Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. Anyway, and the next time he said, God chooses us in the furnace of affliction. Isaiah 48, verse 10. He says, he has chosen you in the furnace of affliction. When you don't give up, you need to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to practice the word in the midst of affliction. And Satan is trying to come against your faith. And trying to say, I said, but you are a faith guy. How can this happen to you? And you stay faithful to the word. Choose in the furnace of affliction. And then he also does something important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, amplified. See, God chooses us in the furnace of affliction. He doesn't cause it. I said it. So don't think that I said God causes affliction. Not everybody persecute. Are you following me? But Satan that is behind it. Jesus Christ said, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Say, a disciple is not above his master, but be of good cheer. Are we there? What is it? Momentary affliction, distress of a person is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all. That's how you get spiritual measure. Excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. So the affliction you may be going through, brother, it is light. Say it is light. Say it is light compared to this glory that is beyond measure. That is what Satan wants to do. So you can give up and then say, I'm not doing again. But we'll not give up. We are not of them that draw back out of perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. That is what he does for us. Let's read verse 18. So while you are in the midst of the affliction, I'm beginning to round up now. Verse 18, what does it say? It says, since we consider and look not at the afflictions that are seen. That is the context in which you spoke that. You begin to see the invisible, the reality of the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of God, the power of God, God the Father in front, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Begin to see them. That was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw. They saw ahead of time the fourth man in fire before Nebuchadnezzar saw it. You don't understand. They came to them and said, they set up. Nebuchadnezzar set up. a golden statue, whatever it is, and said that everybody must bow down to it. They said, oh king, we are not careful to answer on this matter. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. And of course, they bound them and they cast them in the fiery furnace. But before they entered, they saw him that was invisible. So the master just said, come, 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 don't be afraid, come, come. So he just walked boldly into the fire. So after, no, Nebuchadnezzar was wondering, how can you be so bold? He didn't even beg me. God said, like he did for the servant of Elijah, he opened his eyes and said, ah, no wonder. He was not bold enough to enter the fire because the fourth man went out with them. Praise the Lord. So God chooses us. And then God uses this affliction and persecution to make us an effective witness and to draw men to Christ. You know the story of in the book of Acts, after they had beaten Paul and they threw them in jail. And you know what happened when they prayed first and then sang praises. God sent an angel down, shook the place, flung wide the prison doors. And then the next lesson, we'll go to Acts chapter 16, verse 29. The same person that flogged them became their friend. The next thing he said in the book of Acts, he said, sir, sir, what must I do to be saved? Who told him not to be saved? Some people never get saved until when Christians stand in the midst of persecution and affliction. Can you imagine if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to stand? The decree that Nebuchadnezzar made would have continued. But because only three plus Daniel stood, the king reversed. Are you following me? So God used as a witness to save people. Nebuchadnezzar made a decree and said, no, there is no other God like God of Nebuchadnezzar. That is why God wants us to stand to pass our exams. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important for us to know that. And then finally, my seventh point, he gives God the legal basis to eternally punish Satan and all rebels, both demonic and human, in the lake of fire. You must have this understanding always at the back of your mind. All these points I've mentioned, God is not just a particular affliction. He wants you to overcome it. He uses it as a witness for the gospel to save men. I mentioned that he wants to overcome all of them. The final point is this. He gives God a legal basis, like Pastor Tosox, to eternally punish Satan and all his rebels, both demonic and human, in the lake of fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. You see, like Pastor taught us, the death sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ is what paid our price that we don't go to hell. But it's what we go through and overcome. Are you following me? The attacks of the enemy that will allow God to punish Satan eternally in the lake of fire and those that are joining him. And with the word, what does he say? So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God, for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Next verse. Next verse, please. Verse 5. I don't know. Say, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you suffer. Next verse. 6. Sin is a righteous thing with God, just to them that trouble you. Next verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Say, unto you that are troubled, rest. And that story for another day. As you rest, you will labor daily to enter into us. Now, don't let me leave us with all that. Let's now quickly look at how do we overcome. Because God wants us to overcome persecution and affliction. How do we overcome persecutions? Just because of time. How do we overcome persecutions? Number one. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 5 verse 13. It says that, is any afflicted, let him what? Pray. This is a good one, sing songs. Pray. We see that in the life of Paul. They prayed before they sank in the prison. I follow me. So, how do you overcome persecution? By prayer and walking love. Say, by prayer and walking love. How do you overcome persecution? Just Christ said something. He said, bless them that despisefully use you and persecute you. Don't call fire down on them. You pray, and then you walk in love. Immediately they came out, they ministered to the man, and he got born again. The same thing happened to Paul. That's how he got born again. The brethren were enduring his persecution. Then Jesus Christ appeared on the scene and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That means Jesus Christ knew he had been persecuted and he felt it. But in those times, we must hook up with the high priest ministry of Jesus Christ and pray and turn it around. Praise the Lord. That I will overcome persecution. Then how do we overcome slightly different? We overcome affliction not by asking God to take it away, but by before God. Give sufficient grace that gives life to pray through the affliction. Paul said, went to Jesus Christ. He said, please take this thing away from me. It's because if God does not allow affliction to come, pride will come into the heart of man. And I think that is you that is doing it. So Jesus Christ said, look, Paul, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. What you need is this, Paul, humble yourself more. Then receive more grace. Bible says, give it more grace to the humble. So when you receive more grace, that grace that brings life is what you now use to pray so you can overcome the affliction. Praise the Lord. That's why I believe we'll stop for today. God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. But with the same temptation, persecution and affliction, make a way of escape that we're able to bear. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's talk. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You overcome afflictions by the power of God. So be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of his prisoner, me his prisoner, but be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb,
the words of our mouth, not loving our lives, even unto the death. We dare walk in all of his will.
One more time. We overcome.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the words of our mouth, not love in our lives, even unto the death. We dare walk in all of this field as we draw on in front, as we draw.
One hand on our hearts and let's respond, Lord, as we raise the other hand to heaven. Praise the Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and so we claim with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today in this new year. Remind me that you love me and that you want me to always overcome all, not some of my way. I thank you. I also thank you because you said in your word that through afflictions and persecutions that I overcome, you will draw all men even unto the kingdom. And I receive fresh grace and mercy to use the blood, the word and the spirit to perfect your love in my life, to allow me to receive the everlasting weight of your glory that is beyond measure, excessively surpassing all comparison and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory of blessedness that will never cease. Thank you, Father. I also ask for fresh mercy and grace, not to faint when they come, and not to be ashamed, but to identify with your purpose and to stay under the covering of those in authority over me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rama Santa Rama Kustur. Rama Santa Rama Zoro Masala Kustur. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.